So, question time, anything really. If I can answer, I can. If not, I cannot. Yes. The microphone is there or...
Well, may I ask if there is now an active Theravada tradition in Japan, or are you the exception to the rule?
Okay. I'm the exception. Yes, so Japan is, as probably you know, it's a Buddhist country, but it belongs to Mahayana school, or you can say Northern school. And the Theravada, this tradition is very rare. And recently, one Sri Lankan monk has been very active and then teaching, and so there is a called Theravada Buddhist Association, led by him, and he is producing many books, DVDs, and then meditation retreats. So this group is last 5 years, 10 years, getting more active in Japanese society. But apart from that, if you count how many temples, Theravada temples in Japan, I doubt if there's more than 10. This country, there are more. It is a Christian country, can I say Christian country? At least non-Buddhist country. But there are more. I think one of the possible reason in Japan why there are so few Theravada is already strong Buddhism is there. And then I have to say, Buddhism there is somehow similar to Christianity here. Yes, as a culture, as a history, there is something very strong, Buddhism in Japan, but how many people actually have clear faith or practice, then the number goes much smaller. You know? Also, if you ask Japanese, are you Buddhist? And they would answer, yeah, when we have a funeral, we go to Buddhist temple. This kind of answer you would get, but then are you, particularly younger generation up to me, like middle age, they would find the struggle to say, yes, I'm Buddhist. And then you said, am I exception? Almost. So in Japan, in Thailand, Ajahn Chah's tradition, and in Thailand, Theravada monks, there are many, many of them, and then among them Japanese, I don't know how many, don't know all of them, but it's quite small, 10, 20 maximum, I think. But in our tradition, Ajahn Chah's one of the senior disciples of Ajahn Chah is Ajahn Koisako, with whom I lived and trained under. He's still there and very active. Apart from him, in our tradition, Ajahn Chah's tradition, as far as I know, only two more. So really, the word exception is right. Yes. Yes.
About 4 years ago, I fell asleep in the chair one night, not unusual.
Can you use the microphone?
Oh, okay. Yeah, about 4 years ago, I was a bit tired, fell asleep in the chair and woke up, and on the telly was a lot of Japanese people coming off a bus with cameras. There's nothing unusual in that, but they all started photographing leaves, and I thought, very strange, you know? What's the program? And the program was about wabi-sabi. Clubs, people who practice wabi-sabi in Japan. And I thought, well, I looked up on the internet. I really liked the concept, but I found it hard to explain to other people or to really get a tilt on it. And then I heard Arjun Sumedho say that I really enjoy it when Arjun Nairato talk about wabi-sabi. But if you ask a Japanese person, they won't tell you because it seems a bit complicated, but perhaps you'd have a go.
Thank you. And so you're asking about the wabi-sabi?
Yeah.
Okay. You might, if you are very much interested in Japanese culture, you might have heard the word wabi-sabi, not wasabi. Wasabi is totally different. That's a horseradish, that's very strong. So it's not the wasabi, wabi-sabi. I hope there's no Japanese here, right? Well, it's quite, almost all Japanese know, but because it's such a possibly profound subject, nobody can say much. And yet people can say that was not correct, that kind of comment. So, okay, my personal comment. And without going to detail, wabi-sabi. Wait a second. Yes, I had, from my education at the schools, I too learned this wabi-sabi. Probably these two are describing concept describing Japanese culture of middle age, let's say from 12th century to 14th, 15th, 16th centuries. Better answer, if you put a Google, wabi-sabi, you'll know it. And but I have to say the detail of it, it's gone. one of the things there is, again, impermanence. And when you, maybe, forgive me, I just prefer to extend from particular wabi-sabi idea to Japanese culture, or maybe spiritual culture as a whole. And wabi-sabi is related to the often the poems of middle age, but there, what is the culture, or what is the spirit behind that kind of area? I like to, and also if you know the Japanese culture, you know the word judo. A good one is tea ceremony, but tea ceremony is not necessarily right translation to me, because tea ceremony, original word is sado. Sado, sa means tea, but do means Tao, Chinese, so the path, more spiritual practice. Same as flower arrangement. In Japanese we say ikebana. Ikebana means make life alive. That's ikebana. But also we say kado. Again, ka means flower, but do, Tao is here. So that it's not just arranging a flower or making a nice cup of tea in a beautiful, serene way, but the word do, Tao, practice, judo, do is the same. So I didn't pay much attention to this, but when I came to, actually, to the West, to this country, I somehow had to look at my culture more closely, because people talk about it, and I couldn't answer. And I didn't particularly look into the books to renew my knowledge, but probably practicing here, listening to Rinpo Sumedho's talk, somehow different understanding come up to me. That is, for Japanese, that culture, let's say flower arrangement, okay, or tea ceremony, or you know the word haiku, very short, one of the shortest poems in the world, just five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables, the famous one of the Issa, Basho, Japanese, furuikea kaeru tobikomu mizu no oto, which means old pond, frog jumps in, sound of water. I mean, if you translate it, so what? You can say, but yes, you can say, so what? This is actually, so sometimes Japanese art or the flower arrangement, you can say beautiful, but sometimes very different from being glamorous, rich, rather simple. So my understanding of all of these together is why they use the word Tao, Do, or path to these arts. What is spiritual or spirituality of it? And it all of them are to do with this moment. Completely to be with this moment. That's the essence of it. Either it comes to the flower arrangement or so-called tea ceremony or making a poem or drawing a picture. It's not about explaining something, or it's not about making something nice, but just to relate this moment in a full way. Just as I said a little bit, well, not towards the end of the talk today, if you hold a fishing line, rod and fishing line, if you have a bait and a hook, the culture too, it becomes the culture arts about something to explain beauty, to describe beauty, to make beauty. So that's the one way of how art comes. And then we feel, yeah, that should be, naturally. But different way to relate to the each moment. And an art stands there. If you do not have bait or hook, just a mental exercise, if you're holding a line, and then when there's a lot, yes, there is a water around you, that becomes the issue, and then your focus is there. Your beauty is there, art is there, there's a center. But once you drops hook and bait, river, plain, or the mountain, everything comes back, or I don't know how to say it. Is there. Was there, but wasn't there. But now is there. I'm confusing. So in that sense, to appreciate each moment is, I think, one of the key elements when you look at these, let's say, culture or arts. Flower arrangement, tea ceremony, just to be totally there. Of course, if you go to tea ceremony, there are so many rules to follow, so many style and many things to learn, I can't do it. And then you can be lost there, even Japanese. But being amateur or outsider, I can say something completely different. But how I want to see is what's there is actually this moment, to appreciate this moment in a full scale. That's, so even the martial art, there's an archery, kudo, or martial art, kendo, art of sword. So if it is to do with killing or beating somebody, conquering, that's just fighting. But why is they use the word Tao again? And I can confuse again. One of the school, they say, in a Japanese sword, you have a what you call sheath, right? The sword, handle is sword, and then a sword, you put in a sheath. So usually you hold like this. It's not necessarily cultural, I think. But one of the school, they say their secret teaching is, if you take your sword out of your sheath, you fail. How? Of course. And this sword is to fight. The sword is to Yes, cut or whatever. So how, without putting or taking your sword out of your sheath, impossible. This is a ridiculous comment. So you just become free. How can you fight? Of course, when they practice, I believe they know how to hold and how to protect and so on. But they say the secret of the teaching, their school is, if you take your sword out of your sheath, you already fail. Or I do not show, you fail. You can see similar things to fishing lines. As soon as you bring out the sword in a usual way, then fighting means opponent, enemy, or division of I and you, division of this person in the world appears. Division of success and failure appears. But when you have this, this is the perfect moment. Nothing is missing. Time hasn't arisen. But once you bring this, all the issue of I got to make this, I have to make it right, and so on, can come out. Wow, another confusing story. But this kind of thing, I mean, they do not have to talk all of this always, but somehow to relate to this each moment, not in the way you got to make this, or even you have to appreciate, or you have to make it beautiful, but to even to appreciate is not necessarily the word, where just silence in the sense that where there is a sound or no sound is not the issue yet. Confusing comment. So that, when I think of Japanese, or maybe, well, it came from China, so Japanese or Asian culture, but significant element. And when you come to wabi-sabi, there's more detail, but when they talk about often impermanence, how impermanent from this life to this moment, this encounter. So another, okay, today I'm like almost promoting Japanese culture, yeah? another word for Japanese, Ichigo Ichie. So what Ichi means one. Go means moment. Ichi again one. E means encounter. So this moment is precious. This encounter is priceless. That's what it means. So again, how to appreciate or how to relate to this moment fully. That's the thing. Because it is impermanent. Because not like building something, making something, is hoping this one to be forever. Like a typical one, the cherry blossoms. Cherry blossoms, almost national image of Japan. But then Japanese become crazy about cherry blossoms. Like you have here, of course, weather forecast in Japan too, but in April, what they do is they have a forecast of cherry blossoms. So this park now is 30%, this mountain, in 4 days time, for that kind of things, day by day it comes up. Actually, they do with autumn colors too. So, and then only so many people go. So if you don't like crowd, Japan is a good place. It's not a good place to go. And then even if so many crowd, just the beauty of it is stunning. So like a few years ago when I went back to Japan in autumn, I was with other friends. I was concerned to take them to some of the beautiful place of autumn color, but I knew there were so many, there were going to be so many people. Were they okay? But my concern was not necessary because it doesn't, didn't matter. It just, even the crowd became a part of the scene, so to speak. And so the, coming back to the cherry blossoms, wabi-sabi, the impermanence. Cherry blossom, why Japanese are like it? And we have cherry trees in this monastery too, in UK too. And there are two or three main species, kinds, few types. And some of them blooms and stays for 2 weeks, even to 3 weeks. I think this kind I see many in the monastery. But the one we, or Japanese, appreciate more is the one goes very quickly. So it comes to the full, but it goes so quickly too. So it means everybody knows the moment having a peak, but probably in a few days, maximum 1 week, or if the rain comes, it goes quickly. And when it goes, also we call flower stall. So petals go falling just constantly, so we call it flower storm. But so when we appreciate cherry blossoms, also somewhere we know this is only now. It doesn't stay. So the wabi-sabi is not, if you say wabi-sabi is the translation of word wabi-sabi is impermanent, it's not right. But the concept, important concept behind is also this impermanence of both human nature and the nature itself. Good enough for now. Thank you. Yes.
What really matters at the time of death? What should one do if one is conscious? What's the best thing to do?
So he asked about what really matters at the moment of death. Am I right?
Yeah.
Big question. And I have to say I'm not necessarily a good person or right person to talk about death. Death is one of the most or the most significant and yet possibly frightening moment, and also painfully enough, we have to face it one day, sooner or later. My answer for now is to remain completely open. When we talk about death, we have an idea of death, which we came to know through reading or somebody talked, or death of memory of death, somebody's death. Also, emotion around the death, a world death, young world death. So it's not necessary encouraging subject to talk usually. So the emotion, so ideas, memories, emotions around the death we have. And if we're concerned about this, how about this? And this is a big thing. But is this really death itself? So my take is that death is really uncertain, something I really do not know. Yes, I've heard of death as a concept. Yes, I have feeling about death. Yes, I have a memory of death, somebody's dying, or story, the pain of loss. Also, death causes us painful, very painful separation. So all of this, I know to some extent. Some of you know far more than me, but this is something we can know, something we can remember. And also we can learn how to cope with skillfully. But once it comes to death itself, what is it? Just as when you are asked, what is this moment? You might say, this moment, oh yeah, this moment is not yesterday. Oh yeah, the Rinpoche Sumedho's famous phrase, yesterday is memory, tomorrow is unknown, and now is knowing. Wonderful. Yeah, everybody, and this is very important. We can remember again and again. But even when you think of this moment, if you think this moment as a yes, it's not yesterday or past, or it's not tomorrow or the future. So that moment, this moment you're thinking that way, is just like a time is something linear. And then, okay, take off past, remove the future, remainder is the present. This kind of what we would call linear way of seeing experience. From yesterday, 24 hours ago, now, 24 hours later, tomorrow. It's correct in order for us to function properly in a society. If you argue this, you're in a trouble. But that's is your point. We are talking on the level of concept, as if there's a time, past, last year, next year, take off, remember now. But now the time I want to talk about is, go back to this fishing line. When you do not have bait, as if it nothing whatsoever is there. And yet, you know everything. In other words, you can't put the word anything yet. If you put the word, this word, function of the word is to give a concept. Concept means, in my way of saying is, making like a circle. And then, if it's beautiful, within this circle. If it's not beautiful, outside the circle. So that separation, division happens. This is a function of word. It's because word is a concept. But we have to rely on it. That makes our life clearer, it's true. But as just a condition of word, is just it does this. So when we learn about Buddhism in a non-self or whatever, very much confusing one, we need to recognize limitation of the word or concept, because if you use this anyway, the function of the word is this, yes or no happens. So that's why I often talk about this using a simile. It's better than explaining this and that. That becomes endless. So anyway, so this moment, too, in that sense, when you hold a fishing line without having a bait or hook, it's nothing. And yet, really everything. But then, if you start to have a hook, then you start to wait for the fish. You wait for the target you're thinking. Here, time, future arises. Before that, there's a completely nothing, not the negative sense, but the sense of totality. But once you have this, here, what to do? Is it coming? So clearly, sense of next future comes. In that sense, when I say we do not know this moment, I can say this and that, or this is a full totality. I can use various words, but in a true sense, humble sense, we just lose our, lose word to describe it this moment. Possibly, in a similar way, when we relate to death, whatever it is, not the concept of death, or memory of death, or feeling about it, but to not know what it is, but death itself. What remains is we just have to be open, unknown. This is my answer. I can, maybe in a few years' time I can give a better answer. But this is a difficult one, but important, and thank you for asking this question. Yes. Yes. I see. The question is, yes, talking about the scenario or story of ancient Chinese man holding a fishing line, rod and fishing line, a bait and hook. Okay, when there's no fish or bait, then totality of the moment comes. She can appreciate that. But then why still man is there holding a rod? What's that? Thank you. Good question too. Good question means difficult one to answer. Actually, the person who is holding a rod might disappear, no? Because this is a story. If nothing is there, nobody is there, we can't say anything. So to start with, we need somebody. But when there is a fullness, or whatever the word, then very tricky one. I should not use full as a person or entity. That consolidate things, and then Beit and Fukyu appear. But I mean, this is not something like things that exist without being experienced. Experience is another difficult word. So this moment, yes, but so that this Chinese saint is dead? No. More than that, how to describe? I'm not good at it, but just in order to honor his presence, the person is holding a rod. But probably this holding is a strong word. Yes. So this is a very tricky one. There is a moment, there is a person, and yet nothing. So how is this person is? I feel I'm getting stuck. Would you forgive me? Isn't it, I think, good question, important question too. Any question, anything is okay. This no time to waste, or how we live this life at this moment, each moment, in a skillful way or satisfying way, or live the life each moment according to the truth. In this modern age, very hectic, very challenging, and then a digital world is getting more and more. I mean, iPhone, very convenient. And if you have any question, just go to Google and then there's an answer. So the world is going this way, and yet when we look at ourselves, oh, what's happening here? And then maybe you ask what really matters. But so how we can cope, survive this world? Yes, if you come to the monastery, quiet time, you're lucky, you might say. It's true, this is far better environment, conducive environment to relate to the each moment in the best way, really. But the reason why I'm talking about this fishing one again and again, if you look at this, there is a solution always. Doesn't matter where, doesn't matter when, just matter of dropping rod and bait. So the relation to the world, the relation to the events happening right now changes completely. Before, we were in the middle of struggle to find the answer, get rid of something, and so on. But once you find this, actually, so everything is exactly the same as before. Yes, emotion, problem, history, issue, agenda are in the water. Doesn't have to, and we would think we got get the right one. We should not be bothered by the wrong one. That is how we struggle through the life every day. And we have to, actually. But once you recognize the possibility of actually just bait and hook. So this moment, immediately, just a tiny thing but a significant shift, then freedom is available. Even that our mind is in water, but we are very good at picking up this mind and then, what to do, my feeling, my problem, question. Or that these days, this modern age, the problem, I would say, is such a belief in ideas and this knowing faculty. That's why we come to, well, sorry for Google. When there's a question, you need to have an answer. And you believe this thinking faculty, such a strong belief. People say, oh, to believe something is superstitious. It's a thing in the Middle East, Middle Age. So the believing in religion or God, anything, this is not the logic. We should live according to the freedom, whatever. And you would say, but actually, under the name of maybe science, under the name of the logic, or under the name of the knowledge, we just really believe it. I mean, this is a tricky word. Like even in Buddhist world, we use the word knowing. But I believe that knowing the true sense is just dropping this one. But if we think knowing, I got to know this, I got get this answer, this is not the one we are talking about. But and yet we think we got to know. So we have such a strong belief and a tendency to identify ourselves with to know, to remember, to judge, to think. Yes, it is a skillful function, possibly skillful function of our human existence, but that attachment, belief in it, can be subtle and yet significant problem of modern society now. Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
It is with regards to what matters, what doesn't in life. And I had a personal experience quite recent when the whole thing didn't matter to me at all, or not that much. And suddenly, I don't know, I call it the ego came up, oh, but it shouldn't be this way, it should be that way, and that. And I got myself into a state where I was watching myself saying things. I didn't mean, because I just thought, who is this? So I would like to ask that, what are the skillful ways of dealing with, whether it's thinking, whether it's the ego, when it overrides?
When the ego or thinking,
but it overtakes. It doesn't matter.
Yes, quite common problem, I think. Very strong force. Because this is what most of us, or probably all of us, been doing since our birth. And then the society is just reinforcing it. So we do not have a chance to question it. So even if you come to meditate, let's say, to come to the Buddhist monastery, you know something, but constantly this path coming and it take over. So how? Nothing wrong about it. Completely okay. Even the, yes, ego says this, you should not, it is ridiculous, or you. And then you would think, oh, this is, no, I'm not doing right. Or, you can make another judgment over it too. And all of this is what's happening in the water. So in that sense, completely all right. Even you are taken over by this, or maybe worst case, so-called evil thought coming in, unskillful thought coming in, oh my God, what am I thinking? That kind of things. That's happened to me too. So, yes, of course, one level, we have to know how to cope with this problem. Of course, to speak something unskillful, to take action in an unskillful way, it causes more problems. So we have to stop it. It's about the discipline. It's about what we call sila or vinaya. But all of this, how can we become peace with it? It's just this simile. it's in the water. So in that sense, I say that's completely all right. All right, not the sense of you can think anything, you can do anything, you are totally free. I'm not a hippie. I'm not promoting that. I should not. No, opposite, actually. There is a strict code of you should do, you should not. I'm a monk, and we have a 227 rules or even more. We are one of the most seriously strict in the world in regarding behavior code. And yet, I can say this is all completely fine. So this is actually trust in each moment, or you would say unconditioned love. What is unconditioned love? You do not have a fork. Then everything is not just, okay, that's fine. No, not that fine, but actually it's beyond the judgment of this is good or this is not good. Even what you think this is our practice, our understanding about the life, attitude towards the religion, things you would think most important, you should not compromise and so on. But we are human beings, we have conditioning and so on. Lots of things which you don't expect are there. But the faith or trust in this, then what comes is everything is no problem. So this is actually given to the person in front of you. Oh, I have to love this person, or that kind of things happen. How can I be a good listener? And of course, sometimes we can't. As a monk, we should be a saintly, peaceful, kind, and non-judgmental, and so on, or forgiving. But you know, I have sometimes difficult to forgive things. I am capable of keeping grudges and so on. So each time you think, I can let go this much, but this part, or I don't have a bait anymore, I'm free, but I'm not, that kind of thing. So each time, really come back to you, even including your mistakes, something, your misgiving, shortcomings, anything. The answer is, really, everything is fine. This is the... It's not something I can, it's not to make something to make, but just a recognition of it. Once you see it, also, we make mistakes easily because we are so good at making a bait and a hook. So in your case, like, oh, this came in, ego again takes over, and then you make the judgment, oh, this is terrible, how can I? All of this, from the this reaction and the everything, whatever comes, fine. So almost ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I can say only this. So like a meditation we say just awareness and being aware of the things, but it's the same thing. If you do not have anything but fishing line. In a true sense, we become harmony with anything. Even we can become harmony with disharmony. Or actually the word harmony doesn't matter. So when we think, practice, truth, unconditioned love, often we are good at making a boundary. And that's tendency. It's such a stubborn, strong. So either to somehow relate to this kind of simile again and again, or somehow this word, nothing so ever matters. I mean, I said, what really matters? I mean, it matters, but everything's completely fine. That, it's not like I'm saying, don't worry, you're okay. You can say this, but that is cheap solution. Don't go for it. It doesn't work. But this sense of really everything is fine. Big mouth. Yes.
It's probably a bit of a personal question, but some of that interest in Buddhism, because a lot of the appreciation of Buddhism by practitioners is perfection. But you suffered a great sickness, which for most of us is a very telling moment, because all of a sudden this perfection changes. We can't, you know, if your life may end or you find a sickness, is how you change and use your practice to cope with that, because a lot of people, you know, we will all suffer this. So how did your practice change? Did it change in this trying to deal with something that was very, very difficult?
You're talking about the sickness?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
If you become sick, then
how?
How to cope with that knowledge and that having to deal with that? In a Buddhist way,
it's
about to practice.
Oh, I see. Well, it's a moment of serious challenge in our life, such as very difficult disease, right? And how can we cope with it, or how can we survive? Same thing. But yes, we do have challenges, difficulties, and when we are in the middle of the difficulties, we feel we are hopeless, or my practice is nothing, I can't. And you feel like miserable or disoriented. Where is my practice? I had such a confidence, but now I don't, that kind of things. But one of the things I would recommend is always to try, this is more, try to regain bigger perspective. Even in a life, okay, if you become a disease or something like this, you'd think today like this, 2 months ago like this. Your mind, well, our tendency is just coming to this and difficulty, what to do, yes. But to see the life as big as possible. I'm not necessarily talking about that fishing line. We had enough of this, I guess. But well, if you can go back there, but actually when you have a problem, we lose perspective by just, we say, be caught up with situation and then feels hopeless. So, somehow consciously remembering or encouraging ourselves to have a bigger perspective, particularly the time span, life. Also, you might think this tiny, but reflecting on the nature. Because when in the middle of the difficult moment, the sense of I, my life, my health, becomes so strong. So how we can counterbalance it? And when you look at the nature never complains, never demands. like, okay, cherry blossoms, any flowers, it blooms beautifully when it is praised. It blooms beautifully when it is not praised. So nature, why we feel when we go, when we are in the nature, we feel like a healed, healing? Because nature is simply so, okay? It is impermanent. But it doesn't create more than that. But we human beings, not necessary. When we come to the fact of impermanence, challenging disease, changing of life situation, thinking, emotion, build up enormously, we suffer. It becomes real challenge. But this is a time we can understand our human condition. Because we do think, we do feel, and we do suffer against struggling with the nature of the thing which is impermanent. So try to have a more contact with nature. Maybe it's a very ordinary answer, but it helps. Another thing to encourage, bring us, or sustain us in a balanced way, sense of gratitude. I mentioned about in the middle, when we are faced in a difficulty, difficulty means usually we are challenged about what we value, what we possess, something like this. And then when it is challenged, when it is broken, changing, we do not know what to do. We become panic and maybe depressed. So as a counterbalance, this is a nature of our mind to hold on to get to make it. That's just the nature of the mind. It's, we can say problem, but it's not just a good or bad, but just it's a nature of the mind. We need to learn how to live with it. Then how to live with it? One of the very, very skillful way is gratitude, which also mind can do. But also, we have to consciously develop this element. Naturally, we can be grateful, like today I said, what really matters in the middle of the difficulty. And then some of the people in a tsunami experience like this, yes, I'm just so grateful for being alive. You can say this, but not necessarily everybody. So from the everyday life, just consciously recognizing small thing maybe, but appreciate, recognize, oh yes, this makes this kind of habit making. When we use the word practice, it can be a very serious word, but to me the practice is like a developing a good habit, skillful habit, wholesome habit, or helpful habit. Because, yes, we've been conditioned in a certain way from birth, from the society, or from people around us, and all ourselves, just maybe good ones, but some of them are difficult ones. So we do have habits, and a practice is to develop good habits. So you can do it every moment. And like that's why I am very careful about using the word waste. I mean, just I'm a bit too serious about the word, but if you say, what a waste of time, is it really beautiful state of mind? The way you'd like to relate to this moment is not just by chance. Like this building, who built it? How much effort? Or for you to come here, for you have to arrange things and so on. You can, we do not have to think so much, but still, I would say to appreciate this moment is really nothing wrong about, or actually very, very, significant thing, and it just a small thing each. And then you used to say, oh, waste of time. Do I have right to say this? So in that kind of, again, that our habit might say, this is a waste, this is so bad, I can't forgive. That kind of things as a habit comes up. But now we have to make a good habit. Okay. Instead of using the word waste, what would it be? So that kind of small effort day to day might help. Because the gratitude is such a strong experience to go against that negativity we can have. I thank the people in the modern age. We suffer from this negativity, judgmental of either ourselves or others or society, not to say nothing of the weather. So this is our tendency. We become so clever to say this is right. When you say this is right, it means there, this is wrong. And this function itself is okay. Human intellect is very useful too, but somehow over encouraged without proper perspective, then the result is judgmental result is, if you say yes to something, it means you're saying no to something. So I think this is one of the reasons, cause to have negative tendency in our mind. So we do need to learn the skillful means to balance this. And I would say, yes, loving kindness is a very strong tool, but also the a similar thing, but gratitude. So to each moment out. So these kind of things. So if you develop this habit, okay, challenging moment come, difficult disease, and even if you find yourself hopeless, even, oh, I can't meditate, that kind of things. But mind somehow tries to look for what you call positive. Or you still remain your heart grateful. Doesn't matter. We would think it good practices. If you just say in English, thank you, and we often say, but sometimes, or I am happy. And we say, if I say I am happy, and the people say, why? Yes, we need to have a reason to be happy. We need to have a reason to to say thank you. But we go the other way around. Okay, without knowing much, which we can say thank you, or I like it, I'm happy, this kind of thing. Then what happens to us is, brain goes the other way around. Yes, I said I am happy. So why? What is good? Brain goes around to find something nice. If I say I'm grateful, yes, you just say I'm grateful. You don't know maybe what you're grateful so clearly, but you say this, then brain thinks, oh, yeah, what? Oh, yeah, actually, a beautiful tree. Oh, actually, you are here. That kind of things. So we are holding a logic in a certain way. In order to become happy, we have to have a reason. But this is also just one way. But we have such a strong faith, but we can go the other way around. We can say, I am happy because, actually you do not have to, but by doing this, our life becomes richer. So, yes, we have a challenging moment sometime, possibly, but even when you have relatively safe, without too much problem, we can train ourselves to develop the habit, good habit of being grateful, being so-called positive. Now when it comes, we do not know how we can cope. Of course, if we know the answer how to know, how to do, this is not a challenge. A huge challenge, the real challenge is when we do not know what to do. But that's the time we can grow. That's the time we really understand things. It's already quite some time, so if it's okay, shall we close? So thank you very much for being with me, and I have a strong Japanese accent. Thank you for putting me with my accent.